coverage and everything.
Thank you. Thank you, Matt. Good morning, everybody. Hey, why don't we stand up? If you're not. Or if you can. If you can't, that's all right. Don't feel any pressure whatsoever. I just want to pray for you. Because we're going to share right now what we're seeing for the year and the future to come. And obviously there's information in that. There's a vision. But what's on my heart and what's on the heart of our leadership team is it's not information. It's not stuff that's written down. It's not pretty pictures on a screen or on a printed book. But it's actually it's an impartation of what God's got for you. Like we can give you information. But all of us need to be open to spiritual impartation, to actually receiving something from God. And I'm gonna pray and then we're gonna get into that. Father, we thank you so much that you have called us not to live small, not to live mediocre, not to live defeated, but you've called us to live above those things. And right now, I just ask that as we open our hearts to you right now, Holy Spirit, just come and move among us. Open our hearts. And I pray as we share what we believe you have for us, that there would be not just a passing on of information, but there would be a spiritual impartation this morning. There would be a sense of breakthrough this morning. There would be healing this morning. There would be a sense of you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Have a seat. Fantastic. Thank you, worship team. You are fantastic. That was great worship this morning. Thank you. Thank you, Ali.
I was going to fix your collar.
Well, yeah. Which way? Like. Let's let it go. Let's let it go. Are we all set? We're ready to go?
Yeah.
This won't take any longer than it takes. What do you think is possible for you in 2024? Has anybody thought about what is actually possible? What is possible for you in your family in 2024? What are you believing for in your family this year? I was talking to people this morning and they know there is breakthrough for their family in 2024. And they know that it's coming. What is possible? What are we actually starting to believe? What are we thinking about for this year? What is possible in your finances? You might say, hey, well, gee, I'm a pensioner, or I'm a student, or actually I'm just an Aussie battler. Whatever it is, what is possible for your finances in 2024? What is possible for your spirituality in 2024? And I'm not talking about raising your hands more, or I'm not talking about doing all those things. I'm not talking about getting a more spiritual sort of language. I'm talking about real life spirituality. What is possible for you in 2024? Well, my old Boys Brigade leader, Boys Brigade was a little bit like the Scouts. It was something that I was in when I was a young person, and it had a big impact on my life. But my Boys Brigade leader used to say, and you've probably heard this, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. And just to unpack that a little bit more, the Bible tells us, Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom. Now think about this. Have you seen or experienced or watched people casting off restraint? Another version says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But I like the fact that it says revelation there, because it's one thing to have a vision. A revelation means actually the truth of God revealed for you, and you get it. See, when we get that, we actually live in such a way that there is a purpose. You see, we cast off restraint. We do crazy things when there is no purpose greater than what we're doing. And if you look around our world at the moment, you see all sorts of things going on. People celebrating all sorts of things, having parties about all sorts of crazy stuff, and there's restraint is being thrown away. Why is that? Because there's no vision, there is no revelation of God in their world. There is no purpose bigger than the next party. I mean, I love a party, but let's party about some cool things. You know, let's party about the goodness of God. Let's party about what He's called us to. Let's party about what the breakthrough that is coming, rather than partying for party's sake because we want to escape from reality. And perhaps it's been suggested that your goals need to be more realistic. Who's ever heard that? You know, it's been said to me, and lots of times I get excited about vision, and sometimes people say, well, you know, Dave, come on, just sort of bring it in a little bit more. But what should your reality be? You know, what if you say, oh, let's have some realistic goals or some realistic vision, what actually should it be?
Oh, in 2024... I'd just like to make it through the year and stay out of jail.
Well, that might be a really big vision for somebody. That, and I'm looking at Dale. Only because he knows how hard it is for some people to stay out.
Oh, yeah, I just want to get through another year and just, you know, hopefully I've got $100 in the bank at the end of the year. Oh, come on.
What is possible for you in 2024? What could God break through in? Who could He bring into your world? Who could He enable you to influence? How many people could actually be saved and set free in 2024? What could happen in this city in 2024? Megan, I know you're really well set up, but can you just go to that plain picture of Hobart that's on the slides there just for a moment? What is possible in this city that we live in 2024? What could happen? You know what I believe can happen? And I've seen it. I've seen this, and God has promised this to me, and I want to share this with you. But you know what? God wants to pour out His Spirit on this city. You know, I have seen a picture of it. God showed me. I have seen, if you look up beyond where we are now, you see that cloud there, and sometimes, you know, you see the Bridgewater Jerry that comes right across our river. And you know what it does? It flows down. It flows down from the Derwent Valley because of the cold and warm air coming together, and you get this fog that flows down the river. Well, I believe that the Spirit of God would want to flow down that river. It would want to flow down. He's called us to the Derwent Valley. He's called us to things like that. I'll unpack that in a while. But that the Spirit of God would pour out. Can you see that for 2024? Can you get hold of that from 2024? Could you just see the Spirit of God flowing across those places? Imagine that. Imagine Risenvale over here being hit with the Spirit of God. And you know, people that have lived there for generations and have thought, I just want to get through another year and stay out of jail, have actually got a purpose bigger than that. Wow, come on. Let's start to get a vision for that. Look, here's the northern suburbs where we are. Imagine that the Spirit of God being poured out across that area and change actually happens. I want you to get this. I want you to get hold of it. I want you to live it. I want you to breathe it. I want you to see it. I want you to see it. Come on. Come on. Just take a moment. And there's another whole side of the city I haven't even shown you. But God has placed us. Where? This works really well on camera, doesn't it? But you know, we're in the middle of all this. Wow. Strategically positioned and placed. Come on, let's get hold of this. Imagine if we were all carrying that vision and you got up every morning and you started to declare the goodness of God over that region, over where you are, over where you're situated. You started to declare that over your workplace. You started to declare that over your family. You started to declare that over your friends. And you start to pray. Lord, use me today. Lord, I want to glorify you today. Lord, I want to have an impact for you today. Lord, I want to be part of your Spirit being poured out across that region. Imagine that every single day. Wow. We can go back to where we were, Megan. See, when the disciples said to Jesus, "What? What the?" Because he said to them, well, it's actually harder for a rich man to get to heaven than a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And they said, well, what? Who can go to heaven then? And he looks at them and he makes a point. In Matthew 19:26, Jesus looked at him and he said, with man it is impossible. In other words, you know, it is impossible for anybody to get to heaven on their own. With man it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. You see, God can do the impossible with our possible when we live strong and courageous, and we've talked about that in the weeks preceding this. He, you know, when we believe he's strong and courageous, knowing he is above all. God can do the impossible when we dedicate our plans to him, knowing he can do immeasurably more than we can hope for or imagine. God can do the impossible when we are aligned with him and each other. God can do the impossible when we pray, giving our plans and focus and allowing them to be aligned with his will. Last weekend, we went to the Red Bull Hardline series at the big city of Medina. Anybody been to Medina? John and Lydia in Medina. They'd be there right now, be online joining us. And they were kind enough to let us park our caravan basically on their nature strip out the front of their house. And we were in the big city of Medina with about 5,500 other people. And what happened was, the best and most crazy downhill mountain bikers in the world were brought to Tasmania to this just absolute insane course that they built in the mountain bike park at Medina. And just let me put you in the picture here. It was so insane, like if you get it wrong, you mightn't even come off that track, you know, like the risk was so high. These guys are crazy. They were jumping across roads and creeks, and you know, finishing with this huge jump over a creek. And I think it was like about 20 meters or something. The jump 15 or something. 75. I think it was 75 feet. Yeah. Anyway, it was huge. And what struck me was there was a large section of the track. Get this, it's this wiggly bit through these narrow trees, and they called it Baxter's Highway. Because these guys are riding down there, you know, at 60 kilometres an hour, perhaps, down through these trees on this very rough track. And that track, that part of the track, was not accessible to spectators very easily. And that, in fact, they didn't like you going in there because it was what they called the drone zone. And what was going on, they were flying these drones over top of the riders as they went down through this section, and so that was beaming that footage, you know, to big screens and TVs and things all over the place. But what struck me is that as we watched that, we could see what the riders couldn't. We could see what the riders couldn't because we were above the riders through the technology. And as they were going down, you would actually see the jumps and the drop-offs coming off. You would actually see what was on the other side. But if you went to a view or if you were standing on the track, the riders themselves, they were riding and they were jumping blind. They could not see what was on the other side of those jumps. They couldn't see what was down there. They couldn't see. So literally every time they took one of those jumps, they were taking a huge leap of faith. I mean, obviously they'd walked the track, they'd done their reconnaissance, they'd done their research, they understood what was there, but every time they were taking a leap of faith. They were jumping almost into nothing. You see, what was fantastic about that footage was we could see what the riders couldn't. God sees what you can't. God sees what you can't. Do you think when they were launching, as good as these guys were and the girls were, do you think when they were launching off that thing that they weren't scared? I'm sure, as crazy as these people were, they would have had the butterflies. They would have been feeling the fear as they went. But they, you know, they were trusting. They were trusting in their training. They were trusting in their ability. They were trusting in the fact that they'd done things like this before, and which enabled them to take a leap of faith. Now, I believe this year God is going to call you to live above. He's going to call you to take some leaps of faith. But you know what? You're going to be on the edge of it. You might feel the fear. But if you live above, if we allow God to lift us up, we actually understand that He's seeing what we can't. And as we actually launch into some new things, as we launch off that into what appears to us to be the unknown, it is very known by God because He sees it. He's got an above view. He's not scared at all. And He's not going to lead you into something that's going to cause you to crash and burn and hit the ground, just like that was a high possibility with these riders. When you take a leap of faith, remember, God sees what you don't. Ephesians 3:20, this is our key verse this year. Should be a key verse every year, but some things I believe God's wanting to highlight to us. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, and here's the word, above all, not just beyond a little bit, but above all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us. Come on, I want to get this in our spirit. Let's read that again. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, a minute ago, here's me getting excited about what I believe God's going to do in our city. And some of you are thinking, yeah, that's cool. And others of you are thinking, I don't know, Dave. I don't know. I've heard people like you say this sort of thing before. Guess what? God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above our vision, above what we can see, above what we can believe, above what we can get excited about. God wants to do more. God can do more and God will do more. So why not get on the program? Why not get on and say, He sees what we can't. I'm actually going to step out with what He's shown me, what He's called me to, and what I can see, knowing that He sees further and He sees more. Our God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and even think. He wants to do exceedingly abundantly above in you. Not just a wow out there thing. Just think about where you're at now. It's going to be different for all of us. But God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above in you. Wow, what are you struggling with at the moment? What would be that thing that would break through for you at the moment? It might be an emotional thing. But guess what? God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above. Wow. Wow. And I believe there's some words, some people here, that you need to receive that this morning. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now, He wants to do exceedingly abundantly above. More. For God to do above, I think we need to choose to live above. This is where it gets a little bit harder. See, we can get excited about the vision, we can see it. But for God to do exceedingly abundantly above in you, it's not even according to what you think. He's already said that. It's according to the power of God, the power of Almighty God that lives in you. That's the only thing that can limit it, and He is unlimited. But we need to choose to live above all. You see, we can live according to the power that works within us. Come on. And we need to decide, okay, I'm going to live above fear. Who's worried about some things at the moment? Gee, you're amazing. I worry about stuff. I worry about all sorts of stuff. I mean, We've got kids at primary school. They're about to go to high school in the next few years. You worry, how are they going to go? You worry about who your kids are going to marry. You worry about what's going on in this world at the moment. Now, of course, that's natural. The Bible tells us not to worry. But basically what it's saying is you're going to feel that stuff, but don't be driven by it. Don't allow that to determine the decisions you make. Don't allow that to set your demeanor. Don't allow that to control you, because you've got a power that's bigger than that working inside you. So we've got to live above fear. We've got to live above negativity. We've got to live above gossip. We've got to live above division. We've got to live above disappointment. Yeah. Are all those things going to happen to us and around us? Absolutely they are. But you know, you're not called to live down in that place. You're called to live above. Yeah, right, you see, we can take leaps of faith. We can trust, like that drone footage, that our God sees from above, and He's calling us to live above fear, negativity, disappointment, and the spirit of the age that we live. See, the spirit of the age that we live is like a vortex at the moment. It wants to suck you down and have you live way down there. It wants to have you live in polarization. It wants you to understand, my politics is on the right, so I can't even associate or talk to those people on the left. Come on, that's the world we live in. It's wanting to suck you into that vortex. Oh, yeah, well, I'm straight, so I can't identify with people that are not of that persuasion. It wants to suck you into that vortex. Oh, I don't know whether, I don't know what's going on in Israel. I mean, that's sort of, you know, God's people, and yet there's all this stuff going on that the media's painting. I don't know. He wants to suck you into that vortex. Yeah. Yeah. I could go on and on and on. He wants to suck you into a vortex of disappointment, of mediocrity, of negativity, of I just can't. He wants you down there. So living above. I'm going to just touch on a couple of things here. We've got to live above fear. Is that easy? Listen to what the Bible says. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and self-control. God did not give us a spirit of fear. See, there's a difference between feeling fear and having a spirit of fear. If you don't feel fear, you're disconnected from life. God's actually given that to you so that you can actually, for most of us that wouldn't get on a mountain bike and ride down that course that I was at, that's to preserve you, that's to keep you alive. But a spirit of fear is that everything that you approach is seen through the lens of fear. And it wants to push you down. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and sound mind. If you're taking notes, write this down. Love is the antidote to fear. Love is the antidote to fear. And you think, wow, that doesn't sort of make sense. I can put on all the John Lennon songs, Love is All You Need, all that sort of stuff, and the fear's not going to go away. I might just feel a little bit nicer in my heart for a minute. Let me give you some theology. Why love is the antidote to fear. Because when you know you are loved by the all-powerful God of the universe, you are not ruled by fear. When you know that you are loved by God, who has no limitations, who rightfully could have actually just wiped humanity out just like that because we mucked up so bad, but he chose to love you, he chose to love you for who you are, when you receive that, when you know that, you're not ruled by fear because nothing is bigger than that. Fear leads to paralysis and feeling out of control. The power that lives in you allows you to be in control. Sometimes we say, oh, gee, let go and let God and let's not be in control. Well, you're supposed to be in control of your life. You're led by God, but you're supposed to have the capacity to make decisions. The most disempowering, the hardest place to be in life is where you feel like that power and that capacity and that ability to choose has been taken from you. You know, you talk to somebody that's been in an abusive, violent relationship where all of a sudden they feel like all that power has been taken from them. It's a terrible, terrible place to be. But the power of God that resides in you allows you to be in control. It allows you to make decisions. It allows you not to be just going right off. I know about that. As a kid and as an adult, I've struggled with anger. I had to work on it. I've had to understand that there's a power in me that is greater than sometimes those feelings that I get. The power that lives in you allows you to be in control, to make good decisions and faith decisions even when you feel the fear. You see, you can be in control because you have a greater power in you. Even when you are scared, fill in the blank, there is a greater power in you. And it allows you to be in control of what's happening and the decisions you make. Or perhaps not of all the things that happen, but it allows you to be in control of decisions you make. All right, we've got to live above accusation. Wow. Who's ever been falsely accused? Wow, if we've been around a little while, we've been falsely accused of things, haven't we? Starts when you're kids. It's not fair. Above accusation. Let's live above accusation. Listen to the scripture around this. Revelation 12:10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, the salvation and power of the kingdom of our God and the ruling authority of his Christ has now come. Wow, come on. That is actually pointing to a time in the future when that will be said, but we live under an open heaven. We live under the time when all those things have been defeated by Jesus Christ. The power and the authority of his Christ have now come, because the accuser of our brothers and sisters, the one who accuses them day and night before our God, has been overthrown. Wow, it's talking about the enemy, the devil, who finds all sorts of ways to accuse you and say, you're nothing, you don't matter, and he'll come with this and all this stuff. Well, guess what? He has been cast down. You can live above accusation. Colossians 1:22 says, but now he has reconciled you to Christ's physical body through death to be present, to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Another version says, and we were talking about this with, as our leadership team during the week. Another version says that he will present you to the Father above reproach. And that word reproach, it's actually sort of a word with a legal meaning. And basically what it's saying is they may accuse you, but your conduct will eventually acquit you. They may accuse you, but your conduct will eventually acquit you. And you see, when we know that the accuser of the brethren has been cast down, when we know we can live above accusation, we can actually step into living the way that we've been called to live, living above some of that stuff, and it's actually your conduct will prove you innocent. Wow. I could talk a lot about that, because we love the grace of God, but sometimes we've just got to flame and say, okay, I'm actually going to choose to live above reproach, because God is going to present me holy and blameless to the Father. Why wait till I get to that point? Why don't I just step up and start to live that way now? You know, live in your future, live in your reality, live in who you are. Now, this is not a guilt thing. This is a drawing you up to live in who you're called to be. And then some of the rubbish that goes on around you will fall away, because you will live beyond reproach and you'll be proved innocent by your conduct. Well, living above judgment. Who's ever felt judged? You know what the Bible says when you feel judged? It says, there is therefore now. In other words, not then, not someday. There is therefore now. I love this. Because sometimes we think everything's about when we get to heaven. But when Paul's writing this, he's saying, there is therefore now, right in this moment, right now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, if you have been set free by his love and received his grace, there is no condemnation. You are not condemned. And you say, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, people make judgments all the time, don't they? And of course, in some ways we say, oh, I'm not going to judge. Well, you do need to be discerning, don't you? You need to decide who you're going to hang out with and who you're not. I'm not talking about not including people, but we need to be discerning about how someone else's behaviour or character is going to impact us And that's true, but the person who has the ultimate power to judge you chose another way to do it so that you are not condemned. Goodness me, our community needs to hear that. The person, the one person who had the power to judge you chose another way so you are not condemned. Matthew 7:1 says, "Well, you've heard this one before. It's a bit of a guilt one, but I want to unpack that. Do not judge." And again, it's not saying don't discern things. It's not saying don't have an opinion about things. It's actually not even saying don't confront somebody about something that's not right. That's not what it's saying. It says, "Do not judge, so that you will not be judged." And it goes on, "The measure that you use will be brought back to you." And basically what it's saying is you're not God. Sometimes stuff goes on and we've got to judge somebody because we just think, oh, I've got a bit of holiness in me, and I'm going to pass my judgment on them. Why? Well, it makes me feel better. Makes me feel better than them. Wow, they're over there stuffing up and I'm living above reproach. Wow, aren't I amazing? Woo! Guess what? The Bible says if you do that, somebody's going to come and knock on your door and bring the same thing back to you. We're not God. We're going to live above judgment. We've got to live above that feeling of being judged. And we've got to live above that temptation to pass judgment the way that only God can judge. You see, you don't know the full story. It was funny, Leonie and I were at a seminar thing this week, and they did one of those icebreaker things, which are always, you know, a bit awkward. You think, oh. And it was like, say your name and tell everybody something that they wouldn't know about you. And you're there, oh, I'm in a room, a lot of people would know a fair bit about me. What am I going to come up with? Anyway, suddenly I had this moment of thought of something. And I said, my name's David, and I've been airlifted from the Tasmanian wilderness 3 times. And I could see immediately it was a great thing. Like, it opened up conversation. Everybody wanted to talk about it. But the guy who was hosting, he knows me well, and he said, well, gee, Dave's a leader. I wonder why people are following him. And it was all said in jest. We were joking. But I said, hey, you don't know the backstory. And that's the whole point. We actually often want to pass judgment without knowing the backstory. Without actually knowing what somebody's been through. Like I can remember so many people I've, particularly when I was younger, I didn't suffer fools very well when I was younger. And I would pass judgment on somebody and think all sorts of things. And then later on I'd find out they became my best friend. Because, you know, once you know the backstory, you find out who somebody is.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got our vision books here. So the team can hand them out. I want to really a big shout out to Pastor Alex, who, to get this finished off, started to work out how she could use a mouse with her left hand. It's got better as the week's gone on. She's been given a bit more movement. By the way, she did happen to break her thumb last Sunday. But there's lots of information in here. There's lots of pictures and people, and I'm not going to go through every single bit of it. You can look at that in your own time, but there's some stuff that I really want to unpack as we look at our vision to actually be drawn above and not be drawn into the vortex of mediocrity. So I don't mind if you want to open up to the first page. I know some of you are racing through to the back to get ahead of the game. but our vision. And some of you have been around a while ago, that's not new, it's been around for a long time, and it has. But I just want to speak into this. We see. What do you see? This is what us as leaders see. We see. And it's what people that have been on this journey for a while see. We see a church that is real, welcoming and life-changing, committed to connecting people to God and each other. What does that mean? It means that we see a church that's unpretentious. We see a church that people can relate to. We see a church that when people decide, hey, I'm actually going to come to church because somebody has taken the time to get to know me. Somebody has taken the time to understand my backstory. Somebody has built trust with me that they are able to come to a church where it is real, it is unpretentious, and they feel like they can relate to it. Real, welcoming, and life-changing. And getting on with what we're called to do. We're not judging. We're not gossiping. Yeah, of course, that happens in every church to some degree. But we're not doing that. We're getting on with what we're called to do. What are we called to do? Well, we're part of connecting people to God and each other. Come on, let's get this in our hearts. A church, come on, let's really get hold of this. A church that is so consumed by the power of the Holy Spirit that it can't help but shape and influence the future of our city and beyond. Wow, and I want to talk about beyond as we go on this morning. Are we going to be limited by fear or are we going to be released by the Holy Spirit? Come on, you're 2024. Are we going to be limited by fear or are we going to be so consumed by the power of the Holy Spirit that we're released into what He calls us to do? A church that is sold out for the cause of Jesus Christ, that boldly and passionately proclaims Him as the hope of the world. Now, we can do that here every week. Obviously, you hear me and others talk and we're passionate and we're bold in this place, and that's great. But, you know, the boldness is not what happens in this space. The boldness is you being the church, us being the church wherever we are, where we boldly and passionately proclaim Jesus wherever we find ourselves. I love what Nathan does. There was a guy in church a few weeks back, and Nathan invited him to church. And where did he meet him? The guy was driving a cement truck. Probably got bogged or something on his building, on his site up there. And Nathan invites him to church and he comes. Well, why did that happen? Because Nathan's real. He's unpretentious and he's bold. Real, welcoming and life-changing. There you got it. You've got it. We can do that. A church that continues to grow significantly in number and influence. Hey, do you want us to grow as a church? I want us to grow, but do you know what? I want to tell you something about growth. It can be uncomfortable. It can shake your tree a little bit. Because what happens is all of a sudden people start joining us and are part of our world and they're not quite like we are. And we like that. We like that as an idea, but when it actually happens, and I think that's the difference between growth and not growth, because we've got to want it so bad that the call that we have is bigger than the discomfort.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you know, I get up and ride my bike a lot, but every morning when my alarm goes off, would I rather be riding my bike at that moment or sleeping in bed? Well, I can guarantee you every single time I'd rather be sleeping in bed. In fact, I'm always having the best sleep ever when my alarm goes off. And it is hard to get up. But why do I do it? Because the purpose that I have in staying fit and connecting with my friends and enjoying being out on the bike is greater than the comfort I feel in my bed at that moment. And I think if we're going to grow significantly, we've got to understand that what God has for us is bigger than the comfort you might feel at the moment. Oh, gee, I'm going to feel awkward boldly proclaiming Jesus outside of the church. Woo. Not everybody is an evangelist, but the seminar that Leonie and I were at this week, everybody can love their community. Everybody can understand what the community wants. Everybody can get involved. Everybody can actually get to know somebody. Everybody can build an authentic relationship. Everybody can build currency so that when somebody wants to talk, you've built the right for them to listen to you, and you've built the right to be able to help them, not just getting another person saved, but you care about them enough to want to see them set free. A church who has the freedom, faith, and courage to outwork the message of Jesus in their community, restoring spiritual, physical, and emotional hope. Come on. Can God heal? Can God heal in your workplace? This week, I was talking to the leader of our movement, Pastor Wayne Alcorn, and we were just having a conversation around broken bones because Alex had broken her wrist or thumb, and he was telling me about when he broke his, and you know. But he actually told me, he said it was really bad because the time, he said, when I broke it, he said, I felt so silly because I'd been invited to preach at the Hillsong Conference for the first time ever. And then I was around all these people and you know, I'm knocking drinks over and I'm embarrassing myself because I've got my broken hand. And then he said, and he goes away from all that. And he said, a week later, I was at a Baptist youth camp. And it wasn't Pentecostal. It wasn't sort of full of faith in the way that we might expect it in our. And he said, two of these boys came up to him and they said, oh, Pastor Wayne, can we pray for your arm? And he's sort of like, yeah, you can pray for my arm. And he said, they just came up and they said, Lord Jesus, we pray that Pastor Wayne's arm would be healed and get better in Jesus' name. And they walked away, and he walked away. The next day, he had to go to the doctor and get it checked out, and they said, no, you can take your cast off. It's done. It's all healed. It's right. So you don't need. We don't need to be in here with the hype of a service and the presence of that manifest presence of God that we can sometimes feel in a place like this. Yeah. You can actually just take a step of faith and be Jesus in the community. Yeah. Healing, emotional healing, come on. There are so many broken people and you can't fix them. You can't have that little pep talk that's going to fix them, can you? You can be their friend, you can encourage them, but what you can do is you can point them to Jesus who can heal them. You can point them to Jesus who can supernaturally come into their world and start to unpack and unravel things. You can point them to Jesus who says, I love you, and they understand how loved they are by Him, and so much of the stuff that has been said about them and over them and to them actually loses its power because they know they are loved by somebody greater. Come on. A church that is committed to developing leaders who will build the church and impact and influence society with courage, strength, and the power and the love of Jesus Christ. Wow. Come on. Do you believe that from our church can come godly politicians? Do you believe from our church can come godly school teachers and school principals? Have a talk to Kerry Ann. find out. Find out in a real and unpretentious way what it's like being Jesus in one of our toughest high schools. Do you believe that from our church can come a whole lot more carries? Do you believe that from our church can come people that are leaders in our community?
Yeah.
There already are. But come on, let's start to believe it.
Yeah.
One of our old board members, sometimes she's online, but she used to be the assistant manager or executive leader or whatever it was called at the Tasmanian Museum and Art Gallery. And then they did a massive redevelopment of that. Some of you remember they lifted the roof up and they did all sorts of stuff down there, and she was in charge of that job. And then, because of the pressure of it all, the CEO resigned and she stepped into that in the middle of it all as the CEO or the director or whatever they call it. And she did an amazing job. And she said, I learnt so much of my leadership. Where? In the church. She learned it being part of this church. And she was an influence in the workplace. A church that is committed to developing leaders. Hey, don't be scared of that term leadership. God hasn't called you to be a follower. Well, he has, sorry. He's called you to follow him. But he hasn't called you to follow every whim and everything that goes on. He's actually called you to lead. And he's called us to influence society with courage and strength. Okay, so how are we going to do that? Come on, here's our strategy. We want to reach, we want to gather, and we want to grow. And you know, a big-hearted, big-spirited, prophetic church that will reach through the familiar and embrace the whole community. I've been talking about that a lot. We will declare unlimited hope and favour across our city and to the nations. We will do that. We will do that when it's hard. We will do that when it's easy. We will do that all the time because that's our mandate. That's what we're called to do. Come on. Like the last 5 years have changed everything so much. But has that taken away our mandate? Come on, that's actually only increased it. We're going to do that. And we're going to declare that favour across our city to the nations. Through love in action, we will see community restored. Come on, let's start to believe that. We're going to see marginalised and disadvantaged transformed. All right, let's have a quick... I'm going to whiz through this quickly. But reach local. So what are some of the things that are happening? It's not actually about... It's not about the departments and even the things we have, but they are vehicles for the vision, if you like. So what I'm saying here is that we've got to have it in our heart. But some of the things that are happening, and I'm going to talk about this in a minute, is in your community food hub. We're going to launch that very soon. I'll talk about that in a minute. And you can see who's leading that. Leonie's doing that. We've got partnerships happening in the Derwent Valley. We've got your centre that's a big... It's really, really drawing people together in the Derwent Valley. Just because we've got a building up there and we've actually been generous with it and opened it up, it's actually being a conduit of bringing people together. We've been able to be part of all sorts of forums and groups and things just because you guys have been generous in that area. All right, we're going to reach. We're going to reach beyond where we are. Where are we going to reach to? Well, we're going to reach to our local community. We're going to reach to Hobart. I've painted that. But we're going to reach to Nepal. We're going to keep planting churches in Nepal. I'm going to talk in a moment about your church, Nepal. That's very exciting. In the Philippines, we're reaching people alongside June and Cherry through Slabs of Homelessness. We're going to gather. We're going to gather. I think this one is huge. If there's one thing our current... Goodness me. If there's one thing our current world wants to tell us is that we don't need to gather. We've got all sorts of ways to connect, but we're not gathering. We're not. So you can see there, don't let us neglect meeting together. You can see our service teams. You can see all the people there. We're going to grow. We believe everyone is created in the image of God so that we can grow. So come on, you can read all about that. But here's what I want to just cover in the few minutes that I've not got left. When I was recently overseas and on a missions trip, and Michael and Pete were with me, but God really challenged me to think above all. It's where some of this has come from. And he challenged me that to think above all that we can ask or think according to his power. And then I really have this verse here, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 9, says, it is written, he scattered abroad. And this is actually talking about Jesus himself. He gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. You know, I think as we grow here that we're being called to actually take big steps in other places. And it was sort of counterintuitive to where we're at in many ways, but God said, it was like it hit me like a freight train, that we've got to do that, we've got to do that, we've got to look up, we've got to look bigger. So in Nepal, after working for many years sponsoring partners and reaching into Western Nepal, and we've been able to finance a new church building in Napal Gunj, but that now we're actually excited that we can actually launch Your Church Nepal. Come on, Your Church Nepal. I love it that we're gonna be there probably later this year when we get that building finished. We only need about another 5 or 10 grand to get them to functional completion, and we can have an opening of Your Church Nepal. Basically, what's happening is Pastor Vivek and his team want to lean into our family. They want to be part of our family. They want to be part of what we do. They want to share this same vision that we're talking about today and outwork that in Nepal. I haven't got time now to talk to you about it, but it's going to be absolutely amazing. So Your Church Nepal, it's a local church. It reaches into local villages where people are very disadvantaged, but it also has an apostolic call for training and equipping and releasing pastors through that region. In the Philippines, we're working with June and Cherry with the Slabs of Homelessness and working with vulnerable children that actually live in cemeteries. And you can actually, in a minute, you might even see a picture of that. Oh, that was on before, don't worry. There it is, right there. In that cemetery, that's just one of cemeteries. There are walls and walls and walls of these. They're all graves that you know, coffins are slid in that way. But behind those walls and in the middle of those walls are houses. And we went into some of these very dark houses where you can't stand up, and families are all in there living. Imagine how vulnerable the children are in a place like that. Imagine who's there to prey on those children. Imagine what is going on. Well, that's what Slabs of Homelessness is. It's bringing eyes, it's bringing support, it's bringing love into that place and actually giving those children a hope and a future. And we're already doing that. But even further, God spoke to me while I was there, and in so many ways I wanted to say, no, this is just too much. But God said, look, just trust me. Think over and above, more than, exceedingly abundantly. And we've been talking with particularly with June about the idea of next year of actually launching Your Church Philippines in Manila. Or Your Church Manila. Manila is one of the most densely populated cities in the world. There are people there everywhere that just want to find a hope and a future in Jesus beyond religion. And they are incredibly open to it. And we're feeling like that's something we're going to keep praying about, we're going to believe for. And so come with us on that journey. The food hub, this is really exciting. I'll get Leonie to talk about this next week. But we're excited to announce Your Community Food Hub in the Derwent Valley. And we're going to use our building up there. We're going to be able to reach into the Upper Derwent Valley. There are other organisations doing things like that, but there's a high need, and we believe we can bring the ministry of Jesus with that. So come on, that's very exciting. Of course, we've got our centre here. We believe that we will be building here during this year. As soon as we possibly can, we want to get on with this. Obviously, we haven't got all the money to do it, but we've got a way forward, and we're going to start to get the toilets and amenities upstairs and then roll into building the auditorium here. And this is a huge witness to the community. We want it filled not just with Christians, we want it filled with community.
Amen.
Come in. Wow. And later in the year, because we've got a vision. Whenever there's vision, it requires resource, doesn't it? And so we've got our miracle offering coming up. And that'll be later in the year. But, you know, we have been called a lighthouse church. And we've got a vision that reaches the small, but it reaches the large. And I'm believing that this year we can see a huge breakthrough in our miracle giving. Where we're in a position where we can actually take what's happening in the Derwent Valley to another level. We can actually bring the it's our community food hub, and we can see it outworking through this area of Moona and Glenorchy and the northern suburbs. That we can continue to plant churches in Nepal. We can go further. We can actually look at the ways that we can plant a church in Manila. You know, just let's not think about the money. Let's think about the vision and see what God does in us and get ready for what He's going to do. Come on, it's going to be an exciting year. So you can take your books and you can have a think, and you can have a pray about that. And I am very sorry I've gone long this morning. But I felt like we really needed to get that out. So, and kids, hey kids, thank you so much for being so good. You guys are absolutely awesome. Cody's awesome. You know what he said to me this morning when I'm in the mirror trying to trim up my woolly beard that I'd been reminded was getting rather out of control? Cody said, "It's all right, Dad. You look awesome anyway." Everybody needs a cheer squad. Come on. I'm just wondering, Megan, can you just go back to our city again? Come on. Those who are online, Pastor Vivek, when you get this, let's get some of those pictures of Napalgunj. June and Cherry, let's get some of these pictures of Manila. Let's get pictures of the Derwent Valley. Even Rosny Hill. That's Bridgewater's over the hill there. Let's get those things in our mind. Let's see that Spirit of God starting to move. I want to finish with one comment. If not now, when? If not now, when? When are we going to see breakthrough? When are we going to see the Spirit of God? It starts with us. It starts with us living in the there is now no condemnation. You are released to be the church. Come on, let's stand. Let's worship our God. And let's not take away this morning information, but let's take away impartation. God bless you.